1990, the Pacific Ocean. It was a cloudless night lit by a full moon. The sea was calm and the breeze weak, yet brisk. A Japanese fishing boat sat still in the cool water, as relaxed as the night around them. Suddenly, the boat lurched forward, carried by a great wave that disrupted the serenity. Alarmed, the crew gathered on the deck once the violent sway ceased. A large white thing emerged slowly from the water. So starkly white and shiny was it that they believed they were staring into the side of a submarine that had surfaced far too close. As it rose, however, a wide, thin-lipped, frowning mouth came into view, followed by a large, black, unblinking eye. Towering over them, it resembled a distorted, upside-down human face. Silently, its long, massive body flowed and rounded back into the water, two arms and flipper-like legs against its sides. Mouths agape and eyes wide, the crew watched in awe and horror. Its disappearance returned tranquility to the water, though all who witnessed the creature never felt at peace again in the ocean. Several more sightings like this one occurred throughout the Pacific and off the South Atlantic. Many of these eyewitnesses have been reportedly instructed to remain silent. Oddly, large beasts like this one have been spotted not only in the water, but on land too. This month's expedition has taken us further than ever before. In fact, it is ground very, very few have or will ever set foot on. The home of many rare and disappearing creatures, this floating mass of land concealed by snow and sleet holds many mysteries. The world's southernmost and least populated continent, here lies a mountainous, vast polar desert. It is the coldest, driest, and windiest place on Earth. Covered in ice as thick as a couple of miles, temperatures here can drop as low as nearly negative 130 degrees Fahrenheit and warm to temperatures in the 50s during its summer. Though full of beautiful sights, the landscape is an eerily empty place, with extreme weather, poor soil, and a lack of sunlight, moisture, and animal populations. Little can stand to exist here. With not much to eat, animal life is sparse. Seemingly isolated and too harsh, those that have persisted in this habitat are the descendants of creatures that lived on or near the continent millions of years ago. Each animal has grown alongside the ice's cyclical nature and developed their own methods to survive. Most organisms here migrate during the roughest seasons. Others seek nearby geothermal heat or rocky, ice-free edges until more comfortable temperatures allow for exploration. Few can weather all of this land amiably year-round. Welcome to Antarctica. On this mission, we will take you on a tour of the Antarctic Peninsula, then inland, walking across the west to dive into the Ross Sea, climb over the Great Ice Barrier, and pause at the base of the Transantarctic Mountains. Next, we trek upward and east, following a migrating herd to the Scott Mountains for a fifth rendezvous, before hopping back into the Southern Ocean, where we end our journey. Home to a fascinating, unique community, some organisms here are much stranger than others, and a few even appear alien-like. Hosting large beasts like the blue whale or colossal squid, and microscopic invertebrates like the famous tardigrade, arguably the most peculiar species living in Antarctica, are a group of animals referred to in Japanese folklore as ninin, a word that means human being in English. Though unrelated, they are connected by their likenesses, a jumble of human-like faces and silhouettes. On this expedition, we will follow and document the lives of the Antarctic people, the ninin, for the first time in history. Our journey through the Arctic is funded by listeners like you and the Ballyraven Patreon and Four Fin Cryptid Wilderness Protection Agents: Claire, Cryptid Clyde, Colton Williams, Christina Baker, Tanya Downing, Julia Teague, Matthew Shang, Shelby Fulton, Donovan Scherer, Heather, Michael Shang, Tracy and Lita Puckett, T. Carter Ross, Ronald Miller, and Daniel Berry. Vote on podcast subjects and help name the subjects we study. Join the Ballyraven Patreon today and receive unique membership benefits for as little as $3 a month. Thank you for supporting the Ballyraven and Forfin Cryptid Research Station. Fungi are the most prevalent kind of life form in Antarctica. Over 1,000 species have been recorded throughout the continent. These beings have colonized and shaped the rocks, some painting them in the snow with fluorescent oranges, yellows, browns, greens, or muted grays. Other fungi speckle the landscape with flower-like mushroom caps, spreading delicate forms like snowflakes, or peeking above ground with round, soft, and sometimes fuzzy bulbs. One fungus has adapted to only thrive in the excrement of local birds, withstanding being eaten and surviving by growing inside of dung. Non-fungal flora is rare here, aside from 25 species of liverwort and 100 mosses. There are only 3 kinds of flowering plant. All 3 are found on the Antarctic Peninsula, and one of them, the annual bluegrass, is a non-native species, brought accidentally by curious explorers. Though sparse in many places, several organisms depend on these plants, fungi, and especially the algae that grow in and out of the water. Amid the tufts of hair grass and mostly snowless coast sits a furry, dark gray rock speckled with white. Deep in the spring, the ground grows muddy and slushy. Melting snow dirtied by spreading colonies of green and red algae and lichen. It is a stark contrast against the pale ocean, rocky mountains, and almost blue floating sea ice. A broadening landscape of dirt and gravel, it is a wondrous treasure trove for the romantic-minded penguin. Seeking only the best pebbles and stones for his nest, the speckled furry stone catches his eye. Jabbing at it with his beak, he tries to unlodge it from the ground. The action, however, causes the pebble to shiver and shrink. Confused, the penguin turns and eyes the rock for a moment. Waddling closer, he pecks at the stone harder. Popping up from its wedge between larger rocks, the knot rock hisses and sprints away. Excitedly flapping his wings and giving a squawk, the penguin shuffles after the surprising morsel. The tiny animal, however, is much quicker than the bird. Running on 2 small legs, its long toes grip the ground and thrust it quickly forward. On the edge of a snowbank, the creature watches the hunting penguin wander along its trail. Croaking, wriggling, He pecks at a few stones and anxiously observes them. Several rocks yielding no results, he angrily squawks. Frustrated, he gives up. A new round stone catches his eye. He picks it up and waddles back home. Tilting her head up, the Ninian peers over the snow. No more dangers in sight. She stands tall and looks around. It's time to move. Spring and summer are the most dangerous seasons for this kind of Ninian youth. A species commonly known as the Little Iceman or Bullheaded Ninian. Many birds gather on the coast to breed, foraging and fishing nearby. Birds are very dangerous for these defenseless creatures. Despite their rough and tough appearance, they are soft and squishy organisms. Their small size and coloration, however, help them hide until a growth spurt provides them with a stout body. The smallest species of Ninian, the bullhead stands only 1 foot tall when fully grown. A purely terrestrial animal that looks like a cross between a lizard and a bird, they have a pair of stubby, bulky legs and 7 long toed feet. Wide-hipped and short-torsoed, vestigial arms sprout from their upper chest. 7-fingered claws, the arms are very short and rigid, offering little practical use. Supported by a muscular lower half, this Ninian's head is responsible for up to half of its weight. Humanoid hands and feet, its face concretely places the animal in the Ninian category. Arguably the most human-like, it has 2 round eyes above a sloping, protruding upper lip, and below a thick brow. Its mouth wide, reaching past the eyes and to the ears. The bottom lip is thin, but jaw chunky, powerful. Eerily uncanny for humans, the bullhead has brown or blue irises on white eyes. Diurnal creatures, they are primed for daytime foraging and nighttime survival. Navigating the Arctic Peninsula during the melting season is tricky, even for sure-footed creatures like the bullhead. Lightweight, the cool, flowing streams may trip or carry off the baby animals into deep pools or the ocean. Bobbing in the water, they are easy, obvious prey for birds, fish, and other water-faring carnivores. Even their larger relatives are endangered by a fall into deep water. Poor, nearly incapable swimmers, the heavy-headed Ninian are forced to sink to the bottom and clumsily walk to shore. If they are pushed too far and too fast out to sea, they are prone to drowning. Unfortunately, the bullheads must persist near these wet, melting areas. Feeding on the plant and fungal matter that grow on the wet soil, rock, and slush, they bulk up and use the carotenoids to develop a seasonal camouflage. Similar to flamingos, their plumage transforms from bright white to a rusty orange, though their scaly skin and down remain dark gray. Needing to persist on the coast, the color change helps them blend into their ever-brightening environment. Luckily for our small bullhead, the densely rocky area has provided a safe crossing to suitable territory. Young bullheaded Ninians subsist almost entirely on fungus, algae, and other non-animal meals. Living in clusters of growing food sources, they hide while feeding and growing in size, all traveling further and further away from bird breeding grounds. These Ninian eventually find themselves gathered near together. Born sometimes miles apart from one another, the youths that survive form groups in places such as this. Her coat still bright white, she is drawn to excessively feed on the algae as her hatching siblings will be as well. Her fluffier chick plumage will show no changes for a while. After a few weeks, though, it will rapidly change. Adults' feathers display more gradual hue shifts in as little as 2 days. An early hatchie, she is the first to find herself in this location. A decent trek from large bird communities, it is fairly safe, especially when compared to other early growing locations. There is always danger lurking in the sky, watching for movement. More will gather here in just a week, one by one. If they aren't careful, they could lead predators to invade their safe haven. The Arctic growing season's short. Bull-headed ninians are fast-developing organisms. They must spend most of their day eating everything they can. In flocks of 15 to 40 young, higher numbers offer more protection for the group. It comes with disadvantages, however. So many little bodies means movement is much more noticeable. On the fringe of the gathering, pushed temporarily from feeding, watchers keep an eye all around, the first to spot dangers. Antagonized primarily by birds, the shadow or presence of one causes a quick, sharp alert to be sounded and the flock to become motionless. If one of them is attacked, they all leap up and follow a leader's direction. The sudden movement of so many confuses and sometimes scares off predators, allowing most, if not all, to escape when facing a single threat. Multiple enemies can have a youngling community, if not completely decimate one. Avoiding large groups of predators as a rule, ninian eat their way across growth areas, staying within the warmer coastal region and doubling in size by the summertime. If they can make it to the cold months, the number of bird species that feed on them will be drastically reduced. While posing some downsides, the benefits of group life far outweigh the risks. In fact, only the largest communities can use their numbers for a special kind of feeding technique. Like their parents, young bullheads are opportunistic scavengers and feeders, as well as kleptoparasites. Though they are not yet able to hunt, if fresh kills or carrion are near, they may find a way to sneakily feed on the meat. Often near other carnivorous animals, including not only birds but seals, food brought for other animals' offspring, caught from the sea or actively scavenged on the shore, is frequently in view. Now a little larger, their adult teeth have grown in. They are ready to conduct their first theft. As mentioned before, bull-headed ninian juvenile flocks have leaders, sometimes up to 3. These leaders are often the largest and oldest in the group. The first to arrive, the female we discovered off the coast is one of the largest of her brood, so far. Eyeing a seal carcass below them, it is a dangerous play. Near the water, they must run at the carcass and turn sharply right. Guarded by a couple of giant petrels on the left, the youths must be quick. Inexperienced, they have yet to come across these particularly aggressive, massive foes. Their nourishment picked thin in this territory, they are growing hungry and must travel further west regardless. The meat will bolster their journey past the growing neighboring seal community. While seals, especially young ones, may harm and eat the small ninian, they are less likely to accost them on their passing, as long as they keep away from their faces and avoid touching them. The petrels pulling fresh meat from the seal below releases a strong scent upwind. The little bullhead clacks her teeth and salivates. Releasing a deep, guttural croak, she and another of the fledglings are alerted of the plan. The hunting call is a shrill, squeaky version of mature bullheads' displays of aggression and hunting calls. The youths gather in a tight formation and wait. With a screech, the large male breaks from the flock first, running down the hillside at a sprint. The petrels notice the barrage of 20 half-sized ninian running towards them as he bounces against the carcass. Clamping down on the seal, his bony upper lip and mouth full of new, sharp, serrated teeth cut through the hide with ease. Pulling backward, the flesh tears free. He scurries to run over the outcrop west and past elephant seals, swallowing the mouthful whole along his run. The others clumsily run into the seal to the petrel's great chagrin. Belligerently, the birds perform their dominance display and step towards the young, holding the sealmaster posture. The head and wings are held outstretched, the head pointing at the ninian and wingtips pointing slightly back. The tail is raised to a vertical position as the beak threatens with certain death. Stunned by the guard's size, the latter half stalls a few feet from the carcass. Stragglers still gnawing off hunks of flesh and running, one of the petrels grabs a bullhead still biting the seal. It squishes its small body between its formidable beak and slings its lifeless form towards oncomers. Panicked, they disperse in every direction. Some haphazardly run past the birds and along the sea, some falling in. Others go left, right, and still yet. Some of the young ninian run towards the seal, hoping to be one of the lucky ones to have a taste and escape unscathed. Our young female, reaching the seal's territory, hears the shrill calls of the ninians escaping, perishing, and at war in the distance. Ignoring it, she hurries on. Ahead, the molting elephant seals wallow in their muddy trenches. Spread throughout their lounging community are throngs of king penguins. Another great danger. With so many near, though, the 6-inch animals could be easily missed. Following a few other youths, and skid suddenly to a stop, turning in the opposite direction and looking for an alternative path. The leading male squirming between a penguin's beak, he sounds a warning before being silenced. Now guiding the way, she is responsible for finding a safe path for those behind, or at least warning of a danger that she has befallen. Using the large cows to block birds' views, she slows down near the end of seals' bodies. With quick glances, she makes quick decisions. Following along another seal's body, she is surprised by a penguin standing in her way. Looking down and noticing her, it flaps and squawks. Startled, she teeters backward and begins to churn, another ninian bouncing against her unforeseen stop. Eagerly, the penguin pecks at her, hitting the seal instead. Rolling over, mouth agape and irritated, the cow growls and lurches at the penguin. With the distraction, she runs past the squabble, zigzagging between animals. The gathering thinning out, she runs harder. Less to hide behind, birds and seals are well aware of their passing. Squawks and growls and moans, they can't stop here. Pushing forward, the survivors sprint up a rocky hillside. The ground slick, they slide down the muddy backside. In the distance is another rounded outcrop. Green and red and orange glow from among the muted colors. She hears a watcher bleat from the little garden. Though her ragtag team has lost many of its members, those remaining are now safe and welcomed into an even larger group. With over 40 members of all ages, they are reunited with a herd, and we come face to face with our first ninian giant. Growing up to 8 feet tall, the long-limbed ninian, or Iceman, has a mutualistic symbiotic relationship with these small, similar animals. only very distantly connected on the Tree of Life, they share a little in common physically and psychologically, though each depends on the other in the warm months, migrating as a group to the Ross Sea, where they part ways. On the next episode of our Antarctic expedition, we will explore the habits of the Iceman and his entourage, observe our little bullhead learn more complex hunting maneuvers, witness a Ninian courtship ritual, and discover our first deep sea cryptid.
Take a good look in their eyes. Take